Are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? This, in my opinion, is one of the most idiotic questions someone can ask you. I say this as someone who has floated the terms to describe myself as a moderate Republican, a conservative, an independent, and in reality, I realize how ridiculous it is to give my support to a vessel, or a rocket ship, I should say. My values align with the Republican Party the most, so it is easy to put me into that box, and I give that answer, right? Well, but what kind of Republican am I? Am I a MAGA Republican, an establishment, the Lincoln Project, Freedom Caucus? And to quote the Democrats, I mean, I think if they heard my opinions, I'd be called a far-right extremist. But that isn't who the overall majority of us are. Most of us are just hardworking Americans trying to get by till tomorrow. When we hear abortion, we think about either women's rights or a child's life. People aren't genuinely making choices to be malicious. They're doing what they feel is right based on what they believe, based on religious or secular ideals. The same could easily be said about gun rights. People think about either protecting their family at home and their rights, or protecting children at school and saving their lives. It generally isn't coming from a malicious place. The divide is created out of fear of what the other side will do. However, just because one voice rings out above all the others doesn't mean they care for you more. They care about winning, the money, the power, the influence. I was hanging out on X the other day, which is always a mistake, and I read a couple of these X messages. It doesn't really matter, but I don't know what people call tweets these days. But anyhow, after the Iranian attack on Israel recently, the Democrat or progressive influencers, I will say, were out in droves defending President Joe Biden, praising to the moon about how great of a guy he is. Brooke and Dead Defiant stated, "There's no question. During times of crisis, I prefer having a level-headed, experienced, and mature commander-in-chief like President Biden." Who agrees with a hand-raising emoji? Harry Sison, a 21-year-old Democrat with 800,000 followers on TikTok, said President Biden just met with his national security team to further monitor Iran's attack on Israel. "Thank you for your competent and strong leadership, President Biden." Luke Beasley, a progressive political commentator with almost 500,000 YouTube subscribers, tweeted, and yeah, I'm just going to use tweeted, it's easier. Anyway, that doesn't matter. "Every American is better off with President Biden as our commander-in-chief right now." That's Luke Beasley's tweet. Look, I have told you my bias, but please give me the evidence that Joe Biden has proven to be a great commander-in-chief. I'm sure everyone has forgotten with how fast the news pushes news stories, but the pullout of Afghanistan, yes, I'm bringing it up again, Democrats, because it was awful. The pullout of Afghanistan, 13 American lives lost in a rushed exit with billions of tax-paid military equipment left behind for our enemies. Did we already forget about Russia attacking Ukraine and how we've sent $75 billion in the war effort with no clear path given to slow it down? No off-ramp? How about the intelligence failure of both the United States and Israel on the October 7th attack, and playing the game of whether or not we should support them or not support them when we give full support to Ukraine? Except Ukraine wasn't our ally, Israel's our ally, yet we're giving them the most criticism. Yes, be critical when you need to be, but the way this president has gone about it is wishy-washy at best, which is just causing more civilian lives, and now with Iran getting into the conflict more directly, this president is just being shown as weak. We are not comparing a competence level that is equal footing, like between Obama and Trump. We are talking about a president who has no idea where he is at any given moment, who changes his policy on a dime, who is influenced by the far left of his party, who, when his wife just comes up to him and says, "Yeah, this is what you need to do," like he's acting like a Woodrow Wilson almost. As a president, he should be running towards the center. He ran as a moderate, but has gone completely the other way. We have an invasion on the border and are consistently spending our budget on other countries' conflicts, yet you're telling me he is fit to be our commander-in-chief. The clear point I'm trying to get across to you is that everyone has an agenda. Everyone is lying to you. Everyone has an ulterior motive. No one in power cares about you. No one with influence has your best interest in mind. They are Trump or Biden loyalists, period. You need to do your research. Take your hate out of it for a moment and vote on principle. Look at your ballot, cross out the R, cross out the D that's in parentheses, and base your opinions, base your vote on their record. All the Republicans and Democrats will do is betray you. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. Right now, I am voting for Donald J. Trump, as between the two candidates, he is easily the better option based on their records in office. as far as other races go, I'll vote on those seeking public office that don't go against the U.S. Constitution. Unlike, you know, Mike Johnson and the Republicans in the House. All I'm trying to get across to you is that everyone who has influence has some sort of ulterior motive. Maybe I'm making a blanket term of it, but in all honesty, they want their person to win, and they will do everything they can to make their person win. You need to be the smarter person with your vote, because your vote does in fact matter, especially in an election where the winner is between just thousands of votes. Again, I will say your vote does matter. Your opinion does matter. Anyhow, I am Pierce Crawford, and welcome back to the Crawford Press. Welcome back to the show, my friends. So glad you could join us again. Look, I know since I began this show, what, we're 17 episodes in, I think, to the daily show that I've done. There's been a lot of changes. I'm trying new things out, creating a system. Look, I'm doing my best to just make it as engaging for you and really worth your time. As always, I really do appreciate your support. And if you could follow the Crawford Press on your preferred podcasting platform, it truly would mean a lot. Today's headliner, semi-automatic firearm ban passes Colorado's House, heading to the state Senate. Colorado's Democrat-controlled House passed a bill that was very similar to one killed last year, but in a 35-27 vote, it moves to the Democrat-controlled Senate. If this bill was to pass, it would join California, Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, and Washington in states that outright ban semi-automatic weapons. The District of Columbia also has a ban on all semi-automatic weapons, with Hawaii affecting semi-automatic pistols specifically. According to Representative Lisa Frizzle, a Castle Rock Republican, this bill does not address the real issues that we have in our state. It does nothing. Representative Jennifer Bacon, however, a Denver Democrat, stated, "I don't believe this bill is going to stop all gun violence. I don't believe this bill is going to stop all the crime. But I do believe this bill will help if we are willing to talk about why people don't value each other's lives. How we can talk to young people about trying to solve problems in different ways." According to the Colorado Legislature official website, the bill defines the term assault weapon and prohibits a person from manufacturing, importing, purchasing, selling, offering to sell, or transferring ownership of an assault weapon. The bill further prohibits a person from possessing a rapid-fire trigger activator. According to the Colorado Public Radio, House Bill 1292 would define an assault weapon as a semi-automatic rifle that uses detachable magazines and has one of a number of these features. Those include a pistol grip, a folding stock, a barrel shroud, or a threaded barrel. The bill would also ban certain 50 caliber rifles, semi-automatic pistols, shotguns with revolving cylinders, and semi-automatic shotguns. Now that you know the background information, here's my quick analysis. This bill only affects law-abiding citizens, period. And no, I'm not trying to make some typical conservative argument. I'm not even trying to make a Second Amendment argument here. Look at the bill. It prevents the selling of all future semi-automatic weapons. So again, it doesn't deal with the criminals. It doesn't take semi-automatic weapons out of the state from legal owners, which I'm against. It doesn't deal with health problems, with mental issues. But they are trying to claim that this is going to save lives. This does nothing good for the people of Colorado, and the scariest piece is once they are completely dismantled the Second Amendment, you will have no rights, period. If they can tell you that you don't have rights to protect your family and then take the Second Amendment, if they can pass legislation in the House to allow the government to take your data and spy on you, a violation of the Fourth Amendment, silence you on social media and won't permit you to speak freely, well, that's the First Amendment, you won't have rights. You won't be a citizen. You'll be a subject. These are not the ideals this country was built on or built for. This protects no one except the people who have seats in power that pander to their radical financial base. And we need to fight back hard against these illegal policies that plague our nation, and it's all out of fear. Fear is what allows Americans to just give up their freedom so easily. I guess I'm the opposite. When I'm fearful, I cling on to my individual God-given rights. If you won't, if you want the government to control you, there are plenty of countries out there that will support your desire to be a slave. America is not one of those nations, and we can't allow it to become one of those either. Now onto the editorial notes. If I sound more frustrated as this show has been progressing, I think that would be a fair assessment. I care deeply about this country. about the right to share our ideals openly and to truly try and make this country better. That's why I honestly hate it when citizens want to give it away so easily, when they want to follow a shepherd that wants to walk them off a cliff instead of the one that would rather leave the 99 for the one. This nation is in a steep, steep decline, and we need to fix it. Only way to do that is to get more young folk to run for public office, speak out on podcasts, YouTube videos, try to change the culture in some positive way. And this idea of a career politician is one of those things that contributes to this problem. If most of the people that they represent are in a much younger demographic, then they have no one to represent except the people whose payroll they sit on. We live in a country that hates itself, and it just makes you more depressed the longer you think about it. But what do I know, right? I'm just some podcast host with a mic speaking to you, just the couple viewers that want to listen to my show every morning, and which I really do appreciate those daily listeners who just keep coming back every single day. But I seriously would encourage you to talk to your congressman, your congresswoman, to reach out to them, to tell them of issues that truly matter to you, to get involved, to protest, to actually understand what is at stake when you place your vote down, and to actually vote. I can't stress this enough. You need to actually vote. It is the greatest privilege we have in this country, and we take it for granted. And we really need to stop taking it for granted. But hey, if you have any comments about the show, any questions for me, I'd love it if you would email the program on CrawfordCoffee@ProtonMail.com. That is CrawfordCoffee@ProtonMail.com. I hope you all enjoyed the show today, and I will talk to you tomorrow. God bless.